Good afternoon. This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. Today, we have a story from The New Yorker called The Terrifying AI Scam That Uses Your Loved One's Voice by Charles Bethea, March 7th, 2024. On a recent night, a woman named Robin was asleep next to her husband, Steve, in their Brooklyn home when her phone buzzed on the bedside table. Robin is in her mid-30s with long, dirty blonde hair. She works as an interior designer specializing in luxury homes. The couple had gone out to a natural wine bar in Cobble Hill that evening and had come home a few hours earlier and gone to bed. Their two young children were asleep in bedrooms down the hall. "I'm always, like, kind of one ear awake," Robin told me recently. When her phone rang, she opened her eyes and looked at the caller ID. It was her mother-in-law, Mona, who never called after midnight. "I'm like, maybe it's a butt dial," Robin said. "So I ignore it, and I try to roll over and go back to bed. But then I see it pop up again." She picked up the phone, and on the other end, she heard Mona's voice wailing and repeating the words, "I can't do it. I can't do it." "I thought she was trying to tell me that some horrible, tragic thing had happened," Robin told me. Mona and her husband Bob are in their 70s. She's a retired party planner and he's a dentist. They spend the warm months in Bethesda, Maryland, and winters in Boca Raton, where they play pickleball and canasta. Robin's first thought was that there had been an accident. Robin's parents also winter in Florida, and she pictured the four of them in a car wreck. "Your brain does weird things in the middle of the night," she said. Robin then heard what sounded like Bob's voice on the phone. "Mona, pass me the phone," Bob's voice said then. "Get Steve, get Steve." Robin took this, that they didn't want to tell her while she was alone, as another sign of their seriousness. She shook Steve awake. "I think it's your mom," she told him. "I think she's telling me something terrible happened." Steve, who has close-cropped hair and an athletic build, works in law enforcement. When he opened his eyes, he found Robin in a state of panic. "She was screaming," he recalled. "I thought her whole family was dead." When he took the phone, he heard a relaxed male voice, possibly Southern, on the other end of the line. "You're not going to call the police," the man said. "You're not going to tell anybody. I've got a gun to your mom's head, and I'm going to blow her brains out if you don't do exactly what I say." Steve used his own phone to call a colleague with experience in hostage negotiations. The colleague was muted so that he could hear the call but wouldn't be heard. "You hear this?" Steve texted him. "What should I do?" The colleague wrote back, taking notes, "Keep talking." The idea, Steve said, was to continue the conversation, delaying violence and trying to learn any useful information. "I want to hear her voice," Steve said to the man on the phone. The man refused. "If you ask me that again, I'm going to kill her," he said. "Are you effing crazy?" "Okay," Steve said, "what do you want?" The man demanded money for travel. He wanted $500 sent through Venmo. It was such an insanely small amount of money for a human being, Steve recalled. "But also, I'm obviously going to pay this." Robin, listening in, reasoned that someone had broken into Steve's parents' home to hold them up for a little cash. On the phone, the man gave Steve a Venmo account to send the money to. It didn't work, so he tried a few more and eventually found one that did. The app asked what the transaction was for. "Put in a pizza emoji," the man said. After Steve sent the $500, the man patched in a female voice, a girlfriend it seemed, who said that the money had come through, but that it wasn't enough. Steve asked if his mother would be released, and the man got upset that he was bringing this up with the woman listening. "Whoa, whoa, whoa," he said. "Baby, I'll call you later." The implication to Steve was that the woman didn't know about the hostage situation. That made it even more real, Steve told me. The man then asked for an additional $250 to get a ticket for his girlfriend. "I've got to get my baby mama down here to me," he said. Steve sent the additional sum, and when it processed, the man hung up. By this time, about 25 minutes had elapsed. Robin cried, and Steve spoke to his colleague. "You guys did great," the colleague said. He told them to call Bob, since Mona's phone was clearly compromised, to make sure that he and Mona were now safe. After a few tries, Bob picked up the phone and handed it to Mona. "Are you at home?" Steve and Robin asked her. "Are you okay?" Mona sounded fine, but she was unsure of what they were talking about. "Yeah, I'm in bed," she replied. "Why?" Artificial intelligence is revolutionizing seemingly every aspect of our lives. Medical diagnosis, weather forecasting, space exploration, and even mundane tasks like writing emails and searching the internet. But with increased efficiencies and computational accuracy has come a Pandora's box of trouble. Deepfake video content is proliferating across the internet. The month after Russia invaded Ukraine, a video surfaced on social media in which Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, appeared to tell his troops to surrender. He had not done so. In early February of this year, Hong Kong police announced that a finance worker had been tricked into paying out $25 million after taking part in a video conference with who he thought were members of his firm's senior staff. They were not. Thanks to large language models like ChatGPT, phishing emails have grown increasingly sophisticated too. Steve and Robin, meanwhile, fell victim to another new scam which uses AI to replicate a loved one's voice. We've now passed through the uncanny valley. Hani Farid, who studies generative AI and manipulated media at the University of California, Berkeley, told me, "I can now clone the voice of just about anybody and get them to say just about anything. And what you think would happen is exactly what's happening." Robots aping human voices are not new, of course. In 1984, an Apple computer became one of the first that could read a text file in a tinny robotic voice of its own. "Hello, I'm Macintosh," a squat machine announced to a live audience at an unveiling with Steve Jobs. "It sure is great to get out of that bag." The computer took pot shots at Apple's main competitor at the time, saying, "I'd like to share with you a maxim I thought of the first time I met an IBM mainframe. Never trust a computer you can't lift." In 2011, Apple released Siri, inspired by Star Trek's talking computers. The program could interpret precise commands, "play Steely Dan," say, or "call mom," and respond with a limited vocabulary. 3 years later, Amazon released Alexa. Synthesized voices were cohabitating with us. Still, until a few years ago, advances in synthetic voices has plateaued. They weren't entirely convincing. If I'm trying to create a better version of Siri or GPS, what I care about is naturalness, Farid explained. "Does this sound like a human being and not like this creepy half-human, half-robot thing? Replicating a specific voice is even harder. Not only do I have to sound human," Farid went on, "I have to sound like you." In recent years, though, the problem began to benefit from more money, more data. Importantly, troves of voice recordings online, and breakthroughs in the underlying software used for generating speech. In 2019, this bore fruit. A Toronto-based AI company called Dessa cloned the podcaster Joe Rogan's voice. Rogan responded with awe and acceptance on Instagram, at the time adding, "The future is going to be really effing weird, kids." But Dessa needed a lot of money and hundreds of hours of Rogan's very available voice to make their product. Their success was a one-off. In 2022, though, a New York-based company called 11 Labs unveiled a service that produced impressive clones of virtually any voice quickly. Breathing sounds had been incorporated, and more than 24 languages could be cloned. 11 Labs technology is now widely available. You can just navigate to an app, pay $5 a month, feed it 45 seconds of someone's voice, and then clone that voice, Farid told me. The company is now valued at more than $1 billion, and the rest of big tech is chasing closely behind. The designers of Microsoft's Valley cloning program, which debuted last year, used 60,000 hours of English language audiobook narration from more than 7,000 speakers. Valley, which is not available to the public, can reportedly replicate the voice and acoustic environment of a speaker with just a 3-second sample. voice cloning technology has undoubtedly improved some lives. The Voice Keeper is among a handful of companies that are now banking the voices of those suffering from voice-depriving diseases like ALS, Parkinson's, and throat cancer so that later they can continue speaking with their own voice through text-to-speech software. A South Korean company recently launched what it describes as the first AI memorial service, which allows people to live in the cloud after their deaths and speak to future generations. The company suggests that this can alleviate the pain of the death of your loved ones. The technology has other legal, if less altruistic, applications. Celebrities can use voice cloning programs to loan their voices to record advertisements and other content. The College Football Hall of Famer Keith Byers, for example, recently let a chicken chain in Ohio use a clone of his voice to take orders. The film industry has also benefited. Actors and films can now speak other languages, English, say, when a foreign movie is released in the U.S. That means no more subtitles and no more dubbing, Fareed said. Everyone can speak whatever language you want. Multiple publications, including The New Yorker, use 11 Labs to offer audio narrations of stories. Last year, New York's mayor, Eric Adams, sent out AI-enabled robocalls in Mandarin and Yiddish, languages he does not speak. Privacy advocates call this a creepy vanity project. But more often, the technology seems to be used for nefarious purposes like fraud. This has become easier now that TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram store endless videos of regular people talking. It's simple, Fareed explained. You take 30 or 60 seconds of a kid's voice and log into 11 Labs, and pretty soon grandma's getting a call in grandson's voice saying, "Grandma, I'm in trouble. I've been in an accident." A financial request is almost always the end game. Fareed went on, "And here's the thing. The bad guy can fail 99% of the time and they will still become very, very rich. It's a numbers game." The prevalence of these illegal efforts is difficult to measure, but anecdotally, they've been on the rise for a few years. In 2020, a corporate attorney in Philadelphia took a call from what he thought was his son, who said he had been injured in a car wreck involving a pregnant woman and needed $9,000 to post bail. He found out it was a scam when his daughter-in-law called his son's office, where he was safely at work. In January, voters in New Hampshire received a robocall from Joe Biden's voice telling them not to vote in the primary. The man who admitted to generating the call said that he had used 11 Labs software. "I didn't think about it at the time that it wasn't his real voice," an elderly Democrat in New Hampshire told the Associated Press. "That's how convincing it was." Predictably, technology has outstripped regulation. Current copyright laws don't protect a person's voice. A key question is whether authentication tools can keep up with advances in deepfake synthesis. Senator John Ossoff of Georgia, who chaired a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the matter last year, told me, "Can we get good enough, fast enough, at discerning real from fake, or will we lose the ability to verify the authenticity of voices, images, video, and other media?" He described the matter as an urgent one for lawmakers. In January, a bipartisan group introduced the Quiet Act, which would increase penalties for those who use AI to impersonate people. In Arizona, a state senator introduced a bill that would designate AI as a weapon when used in conjunction with a crime, also allowing lengthier sentences. The Federal Trade Commission, which investigates consumer fraud, reported that Americans lost more than $2 million to imposter scams of various kinds in 2022. Last year, the FTC put out a voice cloning advisory noting, if the caller says to wire money, send cryptocurrency, or buy gift cards and give them the card numbers and PINs, those could be signs of a scam. But it, too, has not yet created any guidelines for the use of voice cloning technology. Even if laws are enacted, policing them will be exceedingly difficult. Scammers can use encrypted apps to execute their schemes, and calls are completed in minutes. By the time you get there, the scam is over and everybody's moved on, Fareed said. A decade ago, The FTC sponsored a competition to counter the rise of robocalls, and one of its winners went on to create No More Robo, a call blocking service that has helped to reduce, but not eliminate, the phenomenon. Late last year, the commission offered a $25,000 prize for the development of new ways to protect consumers from voice cloning. It received around 75 submissions, which focus on prevention, authentication, and real-time detection. Some of the submissions will use artificial intelligence, while others rely on metadata or watermarking. Judging will be completed by April. Will Maxson, who is managing the FTC's challenge, told me, "We're hoping we'll spur some innovators to come up with products and services that will help reduce this new threat, but it's not at all clear how effective they will be. There are no silver bullets," he acknowledged. A few months ago, Fareed, the Berkeley professor, participated in a Zoom call with Barack Obama. The former president was interested, he said, in learning about generative AI. During the Zoom call, Fareed found himself in an increasingly familiar online state of mind, doubt. "People have spent so much time trying to make deep fakes with Obama that I spent like the first 10 minutes being like, I don't know, man, I don't think this is him," he said, laughing. In the end, he determined that it was the real Obama. Still, the experience was unnerving. "Shit's getting weird," he said. One Friday last January, Jennifer DeStefano, who lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, got a call while walking into a dance studio where the younger of her two teenage daughters, Aubrey, had just wrapped up a rehearsal. The caller ID read unknown, so DeStefano ignored it at first. Then she reconsidered. Brianna, her older daughter, was on a ski trip up north, and, DeStefano thought, maybe something had happened. She took the call on speakerphone. "Mom, I messed up," Brianna's voice said, sobbing in her uniquely controlled way. A man with a Spanish accent would be heard telling her, "Lay down and put your head back." Then Brianna said, "Mom, these bad men have me. Help me, help me." One of the men took the phone as Brianna sobbed and pleaded in the background. "I have your daughter," he said. "If you seek any help from anyone, I'll pump her stomach so full of drugs." He'd have his way with her, he continued, and then he'd leave her for dead. DeStefano ran into the dance studio and screamed for help. Three other mothers responded. One called 911, one called DeStefano's husband, and one sat with DeStefano while she talked on the phone. First, the man demanded $1 million, but DeStefano said that that wasn't possible, so he lowered the sum to $50,000. As they discussed how to get the money to him, the mother who called 911 came back inside and said that she'd learned that the call might be a scam. DeStefano, who considered herself pretty savvy, was unconvinced. "I talked to her," she replied. She continued speaking to the man, who decided that he wanted to arrange a physical pickup of the money. A white van would meet DeStefano somewhere, and someone would put a bag over her head and bring her to him. She recalled, "He said I had better have all the cash, or else we were both dead." Soon, though, the second mother hurried over. She had located DeStefano's husband, who confirmed that he was with Brianna. DeStefano eventually got a hold of her older daughter. "I have no idea what's going on or what you're talking about," Brianna told her. "I'm with Dad." Eventually, DeStefano returned to her phone call. "I called these guys out for being the lowest of the low," DeStefano said. "I used vulgar words, and then I just hung up." DeStefano went public with her experience, eventually testifying about it before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Other victims reached out. Another mother at the dance studio had a cousin who'd been scammed just 2 weeks earlier. The call came in from her daughter's phone, and she actually sent $1,500, DeStefano said. "She told me that a friend had received a call from what sounded like her 9-year-old son. He'd been kidnapped," he said, "but she'd just tucked him in bed after reading a story, so she knew it wasn't true." Ray Lee Jorgensen, a 34-year-old teacher's aide, contacted DeStefano. Last April, while waiting for her two youngest children to get out of school, she received a phone call from her oldest son's number. "Hey, Mom," her 14-year-old son voice said. "This is Tate." He was using his family nickname, and it was his voice, Jorgensen told me. But I could tell something was wrong. I asked what it was. Then another voice said, I have your son, and I'm going to shoot him in the head. Jorgensen panicked, and she hung up. 10 minutes later, she received confirmation from Tate's school that her son was safe and now sitting in the principal's office. Even DeStefano's mother received a scam call. Months before DeStefano's ordeal, someone had called her mother, claiming to be DeStefano's brother, and asking for money to pay a hospital bill related to a car accident. But DeStefano's mother could sense that something was off. She's hard of hearing, but she's still sharp, DeStefano said. She hung up. Robin and Steve in Brooklyn eventually got their money back from Venmo. Today, they're able to joke about some aspects of the ordeal, the pizza emoji instruction, for example. But we told everyone we knew to be aware of this very sophisticated thing, Robin said. The family has created a plan for next time. It doesn't seem like this scam is going to stop anytime soon, Robin told me. So we came up with an extended family password. If one of us is in trouble, others can verify that it's really them. When I recently called up Mona, her mother-in-law, though, she confessed that she'd already forgotten the family password. I'm going to have to go over it. She added that it took her a while to accept one aspect of the call. $750, she said. I still can't believe that's all I was worth. And now from USA Today, Don't Say Yes When Caller Asks, Can You Hear Me Now? By Betty Lynn Fisher, April 22, 2024. Is someone asking, can you hear me, on the phone when you pick up? If so, hang up. It could be a scam. The Can You Hear Me scam has been targeting consumers for quite a few years. It's unclear exactly how the scam might play out, but consumer advocates, including the Better Business Bureau, say it's better to hang up and not engage. It's likely the scammers are trying to get you to say yes or record your voice, which can then be used or edited to make it seem like you authorized something that you didn't, according to a scam alert from the BBB. The BBB said it continues to receive reports to its scam tracker, the organization's tool that keeps an eye on reported scams across the country. Usually, the caller will hang up immediately after you respond to the question, Can you hear me? The alert said. However, some consumers report that the calls can also be about banking, vacation packages, warranties, and Medicare cards, the BBC said. The callers may be impersonating a business like your bank or another financial institution, a government agency, or an insurance company, the agency said. We encourage people to report this and other scams to BBB's scam tracker, spokeswoman Melanie McGovern told USA Today. It helps to warn others that this activity is happening again. If you get a call, simply hang up without saying anything. The BBB said that so far, no reports in the scam tracker mention monetary loss, though the agency is unsure if any victims have reported losses to other authorities. However, it's unclear how the scams will play out over time if the targets will be victimized later, the BBC said. Here's how the scam works. You get a call from someone who quickly asks, Can you hear me? They want you to answer yes, which you'd likely do instinctively, the BBB said. The call might even be awkward, or the person on the other line may say they're having trouble with their headset, or that they'll call you back, but in fact, the person may be a robocall recording your conversation, and that yes answer you gave could later be edited to make it sound like you authorized a major purchase, the BBC said in its alert. That yes could also confirm the scammer got a real working number, which could mean further targeting for scams, they said. The FCC in February issued a ruling making artificial intelligence-generated voices in robocalls illegal. Still other variations of the scam, the BBB said, may include asking, Is this so-and-so? Or another question which would prompt a yes from you. The caller may not hang up right away either and may continue the conversation to attempt to steal your personal information or record more of your voice. Here are some tips from the BBB. Use caller ID to screen calls and consider not answering numbers you don't know. If it's urgent, they'll call you back, they said. The BBB suggests reading the FCC's article on how to stop unwanted robocalls and texts. Just hang up. Scammers will change their methods as the public catches on. So be on the lookout for other questions designed to get you to say yes, the BBB said. Make a note of the number and report it to bbb.org/scamtracker to alert others. The BBB said it shares scam tracker information with government and law enforcement agencies, so all information is helpful. Join the Do Not Call registry at donotcall.gov to limit telemarketing and sales calls. This might not cut down on scam calls since they don't pay attention to the law, but it will cut down on your overall calls, the BBB said. Check your bank and credit card statements regularly for charges you didn't make. Also, review your telephone and cell phone bills. Scammers could use your yes to authorize charges you didn't really okay. This is called cramming, and it's illegal. If you're worried, notify your bank and credit card company. They may be able to put an alert on your accounts for unauthorized transactions or freeze your credit cards temporarily. That concludes our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at Sun Sounds. Have a great rest of your day.